reading of God's holy word. I may read the entire passage. I may stop after verse 8, I'm not sure. As I preach in your hearing, the purpose of the parables, the purpose of the parables, part 1, the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, day 1404, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1769, 1769, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus and the purpose of the parables. Jesus and the purpose of the parables. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And I want you to pay close attention to this passage of Scripture, because you're going to see yourself. Those of you who are strong in the Lord, you're going to see yourself. Those of you who used to be strong in the Lord, but you're not now, you're going to see yourself. Those of you who have fallen by the wayside, you're going to see yourself. Those of you who are weak, you're going to see yourself. From the lips of Jesus Christ so long ago. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears, Jesus Christ said, to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you, you're hearing right now the purpose of the parables, matching the title of the sermon. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Everybody does not know everything. Those who belong to the Lord and who walk with the Lord will understand some things, whereas other people will not. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not the purpose of the parables. They seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus spoke to them in parables because even though they can see, they can't see what he's saying. And even though they can hear with their physical ear, they can't even hear it to the point of even grasping it. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever been in a class that you were studying, that you read for? But you just couldn't get it. You couldn't get your head around it. Have you ever been in that situation? You heard the teacher teaching and he was explaining everything, but and you can see the teacher and you can hear the teacher, but you're not getting it, you're not grasping it. And then you have a classmate, friend, buddy like I had in high school, Nathaniel, who went on to be a doctor, in his subject that we were in, even though he was just as crazy as I was and cool as I was and into everything like I was back in those days, he can just sit in class and listen to the teacher and understood everything and made hundreds all the time, made A's. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about. One time we had an accounting class and he just aced it, didn't study, didn't do anything, and just partying just as hard as I was. But he would do well in the class, and I had to struggle. I struggled with it. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And I believe this has happened to many people today. I believe that this has happened to people here today, right here in this congregation, that you've heard so much of the Word of God that your ears are dull of hearing. And that's a dangerous position to be in, where you hear it, but your hearing, there's a dullness of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. I've seen some people literally close their eyes in church while the preacher was preaching. I used to be that way before I got saved. Since I've been saved, that has... I can't recall that happening to me, but some folks have physically closed their eyes. Some have closed their eyes on purpose. They're not asleep. They just don't want to hear it anymore. They do it as a show of disrespect for the preacher and the word. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Do you know that the gospel is very clear to me? I understand it fully. I grasp it. I get it. But do you know that there are people who just don't get it? It's hard for them to get. It's hard for them to understand. It's hard for them to get their head around it. But it comes very easy to me, and it's easy for me to explain it. I can do it by heart. I can lead someone to the Lord without even looking at the Bible, because I've been doing it so long. And the older I get in the Lord, the more real it is to me. I don't have any dullness of hearing when it comes down to the gospel. I'm still excited about preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel preached. For verily, truly, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Jesus knew that Isaiah the prophet, Jeremiah the prophet, and the saints of old, Moses and David, they wished that they were on earth when Jesus was on earth, to see what Jesus was doing. For verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men, Moses, David, Daniel, all of the saints of old, have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, get this now, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now let me just help you. I heard the gospel one time before I got saved. It was 3 days before I got saved. And I was confronted with the gospel through a preacher. But for some reason I did not get saved. And so on Wednesday night, I believe it was December the 19th, 1979, I was in my dorm room sipping a Schlitz malt liquor bull. I don't know if they make that now or not. And I wasn't thinking about getting saved that night. But the guy who took me to church that Sunday came back by. Maybe the pastor told him to come back by, and he showed me from the Bible what the preacher said on Sunday, and that's the night I got saved. You may be seated. Now, I did not really get everything on that Sunday morning, but I got everything that Sunday night. If that soul winner had not come back, I would probably be in hell tonight. My point is that the gospel, the devil would have come along, could have come along, and snatched the seed that was sown in my heart out. And no doubt he had already done so. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. I had received seed by the wayside that Sunday morning. And Michael Lewis came by Wednesday evening and led me to the Lord and confirmed me in the faith, so to speak, by leading me to the Lord, by showing me what I had heard that Sunday morning. So when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, see, I didn't fully understand it, otherwise I would have gotten saved that Sunday morning. It hit me. I had never heard preaching like that before. It was clear, it was plain, but I didn't get it. Then cometh the wicked one, the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. There are people like that, who they hear the gospel and with joy they receive it. I'm so glad you came by to tell me. Yet hath he not root in himself, he's not rooted and grounded in the faith, but dureth for a while. How many people do we have like that in churches today? For when tribulation, a winter storm comes by, the plague pandemic comes by, we can't go to the small groups like we used to, can't go to church like we used to the building where we can see some real people, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution, family members start messing with you, talking about, boy, that Bible is going to make you crazy, boy, I used to change your diapers, I know all about God, I know all about Jesus, here you are trying to come and tell me about Jesus, boy, I'm the one that took you to church, I gave you some nickels and some dimes and told you to put them in an offering plate, when I wasn't going to make it, I wrapped it up in a handkerchief and gave it to you to put in the offering plate. And you used to steal the money and did not do what I told you. Now you want to tell me about Jesus, boy? Don't you know I'm a founding member of the Mount Shiloh Baptist Church? Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. So many Christians have gotten caught up with the cares of this world. When am I going to get my husband? Where's my Boaz? Where's my virtuous woman? When am I going to get my wife? My biological clock is ticking. I want to have some children. Why can't I get a good job like that? Why can't I get a good job like that to pay off my student loans? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the prosperity gospel garbage that so many fell for, hook, line, and sinker, and deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Like the coronavirus, the deceitfulness of riches choke the life out of the young Christians. And he becometh unfruitful. And when you become unfruitful, then you're not excited about serving the Lord because you don't see any fruit. You feel dry because you are dry, because you've been choked to death, almost suffocated by the deceitfulness of riches, cares of this life, concern about how other people are doing well and you are seemingly not content with what God has done for you, not at peace. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. These are they who persevere in the faith. These are they who don't have quit in them. Come hell or high water, they won't quit. Tribulation and trouble will not make them stop praying, and it will not make them stop reading the Bible and hoping in God and trusting in God and looking towards the blessed hope. These are they who persevere until the end. They understand the principle that those that Jesus talked about, those who suffer with me will reign with me. They understand the Holy Scriptures that talk about how that Jesus Christ, before he left, said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These are they who understand that before we enter into the kingdom of God, we must go through much tribulation. They understand the scriptures when it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you and I thank you for the excitement of your holy word and that your holy word brings with the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the fabulous service this morning. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, your mercy, love, and grace, the millions, many, and manifold blessings you have bestowed upon us. I praise you, Holy Father God, and I thank you for salvation full and free, salvation and spiritual blessings, family and life blessings, mental and physical blessings, protection and provision blessings, financial and material blessings, that not only that you bestowed upon us today, but all of the millions and manifold blessings that you bestowed upon us down through the years. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for yesterday's. Lord, I thank you for showing me and revealing to me that yesterday's are not disposable. Everything we are today is in our yesterday's. And Lord, I thank you for teaching me to be thankful for every yesterday. And because they are what life is made of. And I praise you and I thank you for the precious memories of yesterday. I praise you, Lord, and thank you for bringing us a mighty long way by faith in you. And we individually, Lord, and together we hopefully we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For we are still unprofitable servants, no matter what we do. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. As we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. And Lord, I do pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all who are saved. And Lord, based upon this parable, Lord, there may be some among us who are not saved. There may be some among us, Lord, who have been choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. There may be some, Lord, who received it on rocky ground and they really didn't get it. Some may be unfruitful, so they're bored to tears with it. God, I pray that you will save all of their souls and give them the fire in their belly and the excitement about serving you again. Those, Lord, who used to be excited, but they're not anymore. Lord, I pray that you'll crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for this magnificent afternoon that you've given to us. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us all through one of the toughest weeks we've had in a long time. And so many people are still suffering and hurting and have not been made whole. And many are in a situation that they will struggle and suffer for a long time to come. Thank you for the Good Samaritans who have come along to help others all across these United States. And Holy Father God, We pray tonight that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell. You have shown us in this parable that the devil is real, the wicked one, you called him. He's constantly trying to snatch the word out of people's hearts and minds, souls and spirits. He's constantly trying to damn souls, even after the people hear the gospel. Lord, you're showing us that the devil is still working to damn souls to hell because he's going to hell. He's constantly trying to discourage people and get them to a point of not believing in you. And so, Lord, as you indicate here, we have our work cut out for us. He's not only fighting people from and trying to keep people from hearing the gospel, he's fighting once they get the gospel, he's trying to snatch that out of their hearts. He is a wicked devil. To be so wicked and so evil and so sinister that once the gospel seed has been sown, he's still fighting against people and working against people to try to damn their souls to hell by snatching it out of their hearts. Thank you for revealing that to us, and thank you for helping us to grasp that and to understand that. No wonder you tell us, Lord, to pray without ceasing. No wonder you tell us to pray always. God, help us to do it. And Lord, I do pray that you will cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal, sabotage, Jezebel, treachery, Sanballat and Tobias, hindrance and distraction. Lord, it sounds like you have blessed me to pray properly against the devil. Lord, working here and out there against us and against your word and against your work. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that you would cast out these demonic spirits and sins and the flesh all grouped up together to try to damn souls to hell and to keep people from hearing the gospel and to keep people from hearing your holy word. And Lord, I do pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from this message and from this time. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Holy Father God, I pray that you deliver each and every one of us tonight who name the name of Christ. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, and to do right. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Surround this place with the band of your holy angels and the wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. And Lord, I do pray that you will save those who are lost by the power of your Holy Ghost. Lord, in this city, in this country, and around the globe, revive those who are saved in this city, in this country, and around the globe. And Lord, heal those who are sick in this city, in this country, and around the globe. If they're willing to confess their sins and repent, Lord, let your will be done. Help them to call for the elders of the church. We pray, Holy Father God, for all of the people who are hurting and grieving and who are mourning tonight because of the deaths of loved ones and friends and family. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself and comfort them for salvation. Save their souls and comfort them as well. And Lord, we pray that you would help us all and grant us all who name the name of Christ, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Deliver us, Lord, once our hearts are right with you according to your will and way. Deliver us from our tribulations and troubles, trials and temptations and testings and tensions. Lord, we pray for Lisa tonight as she has family members who have the coronavirus and And Lord, we pray that you would heal their bodies and heal their minds and souls and spirits. And Lord, comfort her and her family during this time. And Holy Father God, we pray for Dr. Tony Evans, one of your choice servants who has been used by you to minister the gospel in your holy word to millions. And Lord, we pray that you would heal his body tonight as he has been diagnosed with the coronavirus as well. We also pray for the healing of the ministry building that was hit in the winter storm, that all of that, the insurance would come through as it should and everything would go smoothly, decently, and in order. And Holy Father God, we pray for Sheila Lloyd. We pray that you will help her to stand strong and save and bless everybody in her family. And we thank you, Lord, for her faithfulness for over some 20 years now, faithful member of this church. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would indeed bless and protect our families tonight, ministries tonight, churches tonight, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family tonight, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Lord, I know it is a shame that I have to pray like that, but this is how you lead me to pray, because of the fact that we have devilish enemies working through people who claim to be Christians who are close to us. So place upon us the whole arm of God, surround us with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, cover us and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord, help us not to drop our guard when this service is over. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful on into what Dr. Rodney Queen calls the afterglow service. All the way until we go to bed. Lord, help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, in perfect peace, because we can have what they call fun and enjoy life by keeping our hearts and minds stayed on you. In fact, that's the only way we can. And always keeping that eye on the devil in the corner, that he is not allowed to pounce on the weakest link. Lord, help everybody to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, for you told us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and that you want us to always watch and pray. Help us to do that tonight. Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me unusual energy, strength, unction, and anointing, freedom and liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to say only what you would have me to say, to close when you want me to close. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. William Barclay said, for Jesus to teach people about things which they do not understand, he began from things which they do understand. The parable begins with material which every man understands because it is within his own experience. And from that, it leads him on to things which he does not understand and opens his eyes to things which he has faded or failed to see. The parable opens a man's mind and eyes by beginning from where he is and leading him on to where he ought to be. The best evangelists, the God called evangelists now, not all preachers, but evangelists particularly, because their main focus is to get people saved. they are naturally, the truly God called evangelists are naturally gifted. They're gifted by God to be able to do what you just heard from Dr. Barclay. Like Jesus, the uncanny ability to take what you are used to and what you are familiar with and to point you to Jesus and to the gospel. Case in point, I happened some years ago, many years ago. It was one of the most popular little gospel podcasts that I've done, ever done. I heard some years ago a song by Rihanna called Umbrella. And immediately, as is the case for all God called preachers and especially evangelists, it just, whenever we see something or hear something, we can use it to get people to the gospel. Now, whereas if I titled the podcast or the message, you know, Here's How to Be Saved, then, you know, I don't get that many people. But I titled this message, Rihanna, Umbrella, Jesus, and You. And I've been hooking them in to hear the gospel for years, to this very day. To this very day. Right now, the statistics show that people are still coming to hear that. And it's been, whatever year it was she sung it, at least, what, 10 years ago? To this day, I'm still hooking them in with that title to hear the gospel. You know why? Because they can relate to Rihanna. They can relate to Fenty, whatever that is. They can relate to the magnificent song, Umbrella, that she sung so many years ago. They can hear it in their minds. And so, they want to come and hear this. How is this preacher taking this and trying to introduce me to Jesus? See, and I've done that very easily, hundreds of times down through the years. And it's no credit to me. I'm just following the master, and he's the one who taught me how to do it. He's the one who gives me the ability to do it. I don't even know what I'm doing. But I do know how to do that very easily. And that's not something that's easy for every pastor or every preacher. Dr. Billy Graham was probably the best at it. Dr. Billy Graham would take a news story in Newsweek or Time Magazine and hook them right on in. And introduce them to Jesus and get thousands saved. This is a gift that, and an ability that evangelists particularly have. Pastors can do it because they can do the work of an evangelist, but they're not as natural at it as a pure evangelist. A pastor, every building he sees, he can see it being a church. A church planter, every building he sees, I don't care what kind of building it is, he can see it being a church. Every evangelist, every story he hears, every news story, he can turn it to the gospel. He doesn't try to do it, it's just in him. And Jesus, of course, is the master. Taking what is familiar to you and leading you ever so slowly, if necessary, to get you to understand what I need for you to understand. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my dear friends, in our last message, we closed out Matthew chapter 12 with the teaching of Jesus on who is his real family, who is a part of his family, a series that some people didn't like. Some people thanked God for it. Not a popular series, and every time I preach on it, it's not popular. But it's true. those who do the will of the Father. And see, I don't even want to be around people. I don't care how much family they are. If they're not interested in doing the will of the Father, they're not interested in obeying God and doing it God's way, I don't even want to be around family like that. How can we walk together unless we agree? I really don't. Because oftentimes, I'd rather be around some other sinners that I have an opportunity to witness to and lead to Christ. But family members who already got their ears shut and don't want to hear the gospel and don't want to repent, they're harder to deal with. I'd rather be around some other sinners down at the pub, down at the club, down at the bar or whatever, and try to talk to them and try to win them to Christ. Those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven by believing in the one whom he has sent, Jesus Christ, the true family of Jesus, are they who obey Jesus and who strive to be faithful to him and who encourage others to do the same. Get away from your little church friends who are encouraging you to do evil, encouraging you to commit fornication, encouraging you to commit adultery, encouraging you to get married to divorced people so that you can feel the guilt and the pain of adultery and for the rest of your life. Because they messed up their lives, they want you to mess up your life, your precious life that God gave you. And somehow you can get so hooked to these dangerous, devilish people that you can't get loose until you're snared, as the Bible talks about, snared in their clutches, and now you can't get out, and you're going to a life that was so promising now is going down the drain because of sin and evil and foolishness. And this happens all the time. So, ladies and gentlemen, now we are moving into Matthew chapter 13. After finishing his teaching in the synagogue, Jesus leaves and continues his ministry outside. Because truly, a true minister's job is never done. He was teaching and preaching on the inside. Now he's going outside. He's trying, sound like in the text, he's trying to take a little break, a little rest. He's sitting on the dock of the bay, so to speak, and the people came out there to talk with him some more and to try to hear some more from him. And he had to, there was such a crowd, he had to get in a boat, and he used the boat as a pulpit. Using a ship or boat on the Sea of Galilee as a pulpit, Jesus begins teaching the multitudes of people who have gathered to hear him on the shore. And a true man of God, no matter how tired he may be, no matter how much he would like to relax, if God lays on his heart to preach, if God moves him to preach, and the people out there like a like sheep without a shepherd, there's something about the man of God who's going to give it all he has for the glory of God. And that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus has already used parables and illustrations previously recorded in Matthew's gospel, like the simile of salt and light in Matthew 5, and the story of the wise and foolish builders in Matthew 7. But this chapter is overflowing with parables for some reason. Remember now, I'm preaching to you on the subject Jesus and the purpose of the parables. Matthew 13 contains a total of 8 parables regarding the nature of the kingdom of God. 4 of these were told openly with the multitudes. The other 4 were told in private with the disciples. Jesus Christ was a master teacher. Jesus Christ understood, and this is another thing that he has imparted to evangelists, he understood the power of story. The power of story. And all of the great evangelists since Jesus have understood the power of story. With a point, of course. With a moral, if you will. Jesus also gave explanations of 2 of these parables. We will begin looking at the first parable, known as the parable of the sower, in this message. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says about this passage, as Jesus continued to minister to crowds of people, he did something he had not done before. For the first time in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus told parables in this sense and in this way. The word parable comes from 2 Greek words which together mean to throw alongside. The power of throwing something alongside to get people to where you want them to go is an amazing thing. I refer to it as a bridge over troubled waters. A good preacher, by the grace of God and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, can tell a story and take something from a newspaper, or take something from a poem, or from literature, or from history, and get folk who don't understand what's going on over the bridge over troubled waters and get their soul saved. The parable is a bridge. It can get you to where you need to go, so that you can understand what you need to understand and do what you need to do, because if you don't understand what you need to do, you're not going to do it in most cases. And if you do, it's not going to last long, and you're going to be like the one who was excited for a little while and then they faded away. A parable, like an illustration, 2 different things though, like an illustration, makes a comparison between a known truth, a familiar truth, and an unknown truth. It throws them alongside each other. Bam, you can understand this. Okay, so understand this. In the first of 7 parables in this chapter, a total of 8 altogether, we'll find out about that a little bit later. Jesus told about a farmer who sowed seed in his field. Now, this was big time back in those days. And it's big time today. We got some Texas farmers right now who are hurting from this freeze and from this winter storm, hurting big time. Dr. Tony Evans mentioned it himself. Evidently, he knows some brothers and sisters who are farmers who are hurting today. Pray for them. Well, pray for yourselves as well. Have you been to a grocery store lately? Did you find any chickens? Huh? Did you find some vegetables, like some collard greens? You probably didn't. Why? Because some stores, like HEB, for example, they get their stuff direct. And if you have the whole state of Texas under ice, you won't be seeing any collard greens for a while. My daughter, the Negro, she went in and she didn't see any. And normally they're plentiful and cheap and good. But the point is, this was big time, even more so back then, the sowing and the reaping, the farming. The emphasis in the story is on the results of the sowing. For the seed fell on four kinds of soil. Along the path, along the way, by the wayside, on rocky places, among thorns, and on good soil. So the farmer had four kinds of results. The disciples immediately noticed a change in Jesus' method of teaching. And they came and asked him directly, quite frankly, why he was speaking in parables. The Lord gave three reasons. First, he was communicating through parables in order to continue to reveal truth to his disciples. The Lord said he was making known to them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know why the Lord had to do this, because this, everything about what Jesus was doing is very deep. This is deep stuff, man. None of this is really, really simple and easy. Jesus made it simple and easy. But this is hard stuff, man. You got to, he's trying to help you. He's trying to help folk get over the bridge of troubled waters. Underneath that bridge is confusion. Underneath that bridge is not understanding. Underneath that bridge is got your face like this right here. I hear it. I'm seeing it. I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. Have you ever been like that? I'm not getting it. How many of you ever felt like you read the book, you read it twice, you listened to the teacher do the same lecture four times, it just seemed like you beating your head up against the wall, you're not getting it. I want you to understand, everything about God and Jesus is hard to understand, but God and Jesus are all about making it as simple and as easy as they possibly can to get it to you so that you will understand what they're saying for your own good and your own benefit. This is deep stuff, man. We're supposed to believe in a Christ, in Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, who is the only begotten Son of God. Now he is gone and been gone for 2,000 years. We have not seen him. And we are to believe in him anyhow. This is all very deep stuff. And only the Holy Ghost of God, only Jesus, only the Word of God can help you to grasp it and to get it and to truly believe it to the point it makes an impact in your life. Now, some of you may wonder, preacher, why you always preach the gospel in every service and you pretty much say the same thing? You don't complain about the politician saying the same thing. You listen to him every time, or listen to her, and they got the same old talking points for a whole year. You just applaud and laugh, and you just laugh at the same jokes and everything 2 years. I do that for a simple reason, the same reason why they do it, because they want to make sure people get it. See, I keep it simple and straightforward, and I emphasize certain points over and over and over again, because there are people who have been listening to me for months still not getting it, because the devil has their minds blinded, constantly trying to snatch it out of their hearts and minds. See, That's why I preach the gospel every service. That's why I say basically the same things over and over and over again. And I make it very clear and very plain. You know why? Because they never made it clear and plain for me when I was coming up. I almost died and went to hell. You got to be clear about being saved from what? Man, saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Oh, I thought that being saved was that you had to wear long dresses and you had to act kind of effeminate as a man in the church to fit in and all that. And I was not willing to do that. I'm glad you explained that to me. See, I make it very clear over and over and over again. And I'm urging pastors and preachers to do the work of an evangelist and make it clear. Preach the gospel in every service, because there are people sitting in your pews who are religious but lost and on their way to a devil's hell. Don't tell me that's true. I mean, don't tell me that's not true, because I know it's true. We have to make it plain like Jesus did. See, Jesus lovingly condescended down to men of low estate, and he started telling them story, because they couldn't even begin to grasp what Jesus had to say to them. Even the disciples, he had to do parables for them. So the word secrets is translated mysteries in most Bible versions. This term in the New Testament referred to truths not revealed in the Old Testament, but which now were made known to those instructed. Why did Matthew frequently use the term kingdom of heaven, whereas Mark, Luke, and John use only kingdom of God and never kingdom of heaven? Some scholars answer that heaven was a softened reference to God by Jews who, out of reverence, avoided saying the word God. However, Matthew did occasionally write kingdom of God, and he used the word God almost 50 times. A distinction seems intended. The kingdom of God never includes unsaved people, but the kingdom of heaven includes both saved people and also others who profess to be Christians but are not. This is seen in the parable of the wheat and weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the net. Significantly, Jesus did not speak of any mysteries concerning the kingdom of heaven until the nation had made its decision concerning him. And ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to say to you, but I'm going to cut it off at that point, and I'm going to pull a Frederick Casey Price. I believe he was the best at preaching for about 15 minutes and saying, I'm out of time. And so I'm going to close it at this point, right when he was getting right into it. I have so much to say to you. In my case, by the grace of God, in fact, one of the reasons why I do as I do, like I'm doing right now, is because following Jesus' example, I want you to get it. I want you to understand the passage. I go through great pains to make sure you understand the passage. I do think sometimes some pastors and churches go too fast for the people. I really do. And that's why I take my time. And I make sure you understand the background of the passage. I'm not here to excite you. If the Word of God does not excite you, if the Holy Ghost of God does not excite you, if Jesus Christ does not excite you, I can't excite you. So the Jews made a decision about Christ. This is a good segue into the question, have you made a decision regarding Christ? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided not to follow Jesus and go your own way? So, dear friend, if you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin, the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friends, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. So have I. So has the Pope, the Dalai Lama, and even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America. We all have broken God's laws. If we are of age, we all have lied before. I hate to admit it. We all hate to admit it. We all have lusted in our hearts before for a beautiful person or some shiny object, some materialistic thing. We all have stolen something before or thought about doing so. We all have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected our parents at some point in our life. We all have dishonored God and taken His name in vain. Sad to say. But we all have sinned against God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, dear friend, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sins. We don't die because of cancer. We don't die because of a car accident. We don't die because of the coronavirus. We die because of our sin, our sinful nature, and our sinful choices. We die. Our bodies go to a grave, and our souls go to hell if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life and repent of our sins. By the way, the proof that you truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is that you repent of your sins because you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is why you sometimes say, "Yeah, you're right, preacher. I do need to get saved, but I'm not ready right now. Let me go clean my life up first, and then I'll come back and accept Jesus Christ." That's a lie from the devil. But I'm glad you understand that you do need to repent of your sins as you trust Christ as Savior. I'm so happy that you understand that you cannot continue in sin once you trust Christ as Savior. And you instinctively understand that. You instinctively know that. But that's a lie the devil is telling you, because he's attempting to damn your soul to hell. Because just like in these parables, the devil will get you out there away from under the gospel like you are right now and under conviction, and work on you and snatch the gospel out of your mind to damn your soul to hell. Because he's going to hell. He knows it. He's trying to take as many as he can with him. And my dear friend, hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He did that because he loves us. He wanted to warn us not to go to hell, but to believe in him. And to believe in him, to be saved through him, so that you would not go to hell. But hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the pain in hell. You see, dear friend, sin must be paid for in God's world, in God's economy. Even in this life we live, sin must be paid for. Either you're going to pay for your sins in hell, or you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's already paid for your sins. For you see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross, not for his sins, because he never sinned, but for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And all you have to do is believe in him. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. To save your soul from the hell that you deserve. To save my soul from the hell that I deserve. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. And by the way, if you died right now, unsaved, you will open your eyes in the torments of hell immediately. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory. Nobody can bail you out of hell. Nobody can pay you out of hell. Nobody can even pray you out of hell. It's over. This is why Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any preacher, any apostle, or any writer in the Bible. Hell is no joke. Hell is a very serious place. Jesus Christ, to show you how serious it is, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. You can take that however you want to, my dear friend, but hell is a terrible place to go to. Jesus Christ is saying here, you'll be better off believing in me. If necessary to keep you back from sin, have your hand amputated, have your foot amputated, get in a wheelchair or use crutches, and believe in me and go to heaven that way, maimed, rather than to go to hell with both hands and both feet. That's how serious and how sad and how bad hell is. And that is the bad news, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. But you will go to one or the other. If you believe in Christ and trust him as your Savior, you will go to heaven one day. If you reject Christ and refuse to believe in him because you love sin more than you love righteousness, then you will go to hell as sure as you're looking at me right now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, here's the good news. I just told you the bad news. Jesus Christ, yes, the hellfire and brimstone preacher, said the most loving, most wonderful, and most important words ever said to human beings in the history of the world, when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That includes you. If you are in this world, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus Christ. Would you give up your only child? Would you give up one of your children for somebody else? Would you? You might give up your life, I doubt it, but you would not give up your child's life for somebody else. But God did it for you and for me. He gave up his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on a cruel cross for our sins, because he never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. And all we have to do is believe in him. Believe in Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid our sin debt. And all we have to do is believe in him as our Savior. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight, my dear friend. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. In other words, as soon as you believe in Christ, you will not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Do you understand that a little bit better now? Yes, getting saved is simple and easy only because God and Jesus made it so. It is not hard. You don't have to go to a beautiful, ornate church to believe in Christ. You don't have to wait for a church building to open up to go to. That will not save your soul. You don't have to join a church. That will not save your soul. There are many church members in hell tonight. There are preachers in hell, deacons in hell, trustees in hell, pastors' wives in hell. Everybody singing about heaven ain't going. Getting baptized will not save your soul. It's something good you ought to do after you get saved, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. I got baptized at the age of 12. I went down a dry sinner, came up a wet sinner, lost and on my way to hell, going and coming. The baptism didn't save me at all, didn't change me at all. It meant nothing to me. But then I got saved December the 19th, 1979, as a 19-year-old man. And then I got baptized a few days later, and that meant the world to me because I was already saved. But it had nothing to do with my salvation. Giving money to the church, working for the church, will not save your soul, dear friend. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but only by his grace and his mercy, he saves us. And so, dear friend, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the holy gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart tonight to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, claim him as your Lord and Savior, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever, the word whosoever, there it is again, means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, my beloved friend, believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Call on his name, and I'll help you do the calling and the praying. As we pray the sinner's prayer, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, right where you are. You might be on a ventilator. You might not be able to talk, but you can hear me, and you can pray from deep down on the inside. You might be on your sick bed at home. You can see me and you can hear me. follow me in this prayer. Get your soul saved. Yes, Jesus Christ specializes in deathbed salvations. If the thief on the cross could get saved, and he was on a cross, and he was guilty, Jesus was not. The thief on the cross said, "Remember me." Jesus said, immediately, while he was dying, he had enough strength to say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." If the thief on the cross can get saved, you can get saved on a ventilator. You can get saved on your sick bed, right where you are. You don't need to go anywhere. You can get saved right now from hell and saved to heaven in a moment of time. God and Jesus made it. It was hard for them, but they made it simple and easy for you and me. So follow me in prayer, my dear friends. Get your soul saved from hell by believing in Christ. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I humbly admit that I've sinned against you. Lord, I hate to admit it, but I've done wrong in your sight. I have done those sins that the preacher talked about. And Lord, as you know, I'm sad to admit I even committed more sins than that. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my wicked sins. Help me to turn from my wicked, evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, free of charge. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know so that we can rejoice with you and rejoice with heaven. Also, we have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and become the strong Christian disciple who will never fall away that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, dear friend, you're going through a hard time tonight, in your marriage, in your family, and because of the storm, a financial reversal, or whatever the case might be. Thousands upon thousands have gotten prayers answered by sending in their prayer requests to us, because we pray for all of the people who send us a prayer request. So please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern, and 8 o'clock Pacific. I normally take off on Monday nights, but if the Lord leads me to preach, I'll preach. If the Lord allows me, I'll take a break tomorrow night. So, dear friends, make sure that if you have a prayer list, please put us on it. Please put us on it and pray for us daily. And also, make sure that you pray without ceasing for yourself, for your family, for the ministry and church that you're involved in. Pray without ceasing. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, have a wonderful night in the Lord.